Rod Lewis owned Lewis and Clark Rafting, and back in 1980, I started working for them, and I guess about 81 or so, Rod decided to start Floatographs, and the idea behind Floatographs was to take pictures of people rafting down the snake, and then he would sell those pictures back to the people when they got done with their trip. So most of the time, he photographed the rafts from the opposite side of the river as the road was on, so he had to get the film back across the river. So he had all sorts of different ideas about how to get the film back across the river. And the idea was to get the film back to town before the customers showed up on the bus, so that when they stepped off the bus, voila, there were their pictures for sale. So Rod started out, his first idea was to get a guy on a motorcycle who was supposed to drive the film back into town. And so first they had to get the film across the river to the guy on the motorcycle. And initially, he had all sorts of different schemes. He tried casting, having the photographers cast it across the river with a fishing rod, which didn't work. They couldn't get it all the way across. And then he tried having them tie it to an arrow and shoot it across the river. And they kept losing the film that way, too. And so finally, then Rod strung a wire across the river, and they would put the film on a little pulley, and it would go, across on this wire. But then one day during high water, one of the other rafts coming down the river ended up, the guide snagged the cable and took the whole thing down. So that also failed. So then he decided that our number one job as guides was to make sure that film somehow got across the river. So the photographers would load up the film in this little plastic bag, this little floaty yellow bag. And when we came down, they would snap the pictures and then heave the film across out into the river. And we were supposed to somehow get the customers. These were U-paddle trips. And the people were paddling the raft, and we were supposed to get the people to turn the boat around and paddle back upstream to try to save this film that was floating down in the middle of the rapids. And needless to say, it wasn't working out very well. Rod, I remember one day Rod coming down, and he's angry with us because we'd lost yet another thing of film, and he's like, "What is the number one most important thing on the river?" And we're like, safety? And he's, "No, it's the film! The film! Make sure the film gets..." And so none of it was working very well. And Floatographs, had a pretty bad record because mostly the people weren't able to see their pictures. So he didn't have that captive audience. So finally, one day, Rod came up with the idea of pigeons. And he decided he was going to take passenger pigeons. Well, he got these racing pigeons, and he was going to put the film on the racing pigeons. So all the money from Lewis and Clark, which was a profitable business, started going into these pigeons. And he built this pigeon coop. At the time, they had this building moratorium. I think the height of the highest building in Jackson could only be two stories high. But Rod somehow managed to build on top of another building this pigeon coop that was three stories up, towering over everything in Jackson, was Rod's pigeon coop. And he spent oodles of money training these pigeons, and he would took them to California so they could have a warm place where they could practice all the pigeoning, and he had these schemes for the pigeons. He would starve them of food or of sex, and they would be so they would be motivated to fly back to the pigeon coop faster. And finally, the day came when Rod was ready, he sewed these little jock straps for these pigeons where the film was supposed to be placed, and he was ready for the pigeons to make their maiden voyage. And so the photographers took these pigeons down to the river, and they took their pictures, and they put the film in the pigeon and flew it, sent it up in the air, and the pigeon just beelined towards Jackson, and apparently these things were fast. They would go like 60 miles an hour. They easily beat the bus back there. The people, as soon as they stepped off the bus, there was their picture. Sales were just roaring. It was a huge success. Everybody was excited. And then the Forest Service decided that they needed to plant some peregrine falcons along the river. Now, these racing pigeons are the fastest birds out there. The eagles can't keep up with them. The only thing that can catch a racing pigeon is a peregrine falcon. And all of a sudden, the Forest Service decided to plant these peregrine falcons along the river. So Rod, you know, he you know, at first didn't realize, know what was happening, but he was lost a couple of pigeons, and he couldn't figure out what was becoming of his pigeons. So he started, you know, going along the highway there and tracking the pigeons, and that's when he saw a peregrine falcon. And Rod, he was of the old school, where he felt that the government had nothing to do with private industry, and he felt completely justified in protecting his interests, you know, against the government. And so Rod got himself a shotgun, which had plenty of them, and he went down there, and he decided he was going to protect his pigeons against those peregrine falcons. Well, the Forest Service didn't agree, and I think that was about the time that Rod ended up in prison. But he didn't actually get arrested for killing any of the falcons, but he got arrested for having a run-in with a Forest Service employee and nearly killing him. But Rod's pigeons did continue to carry the film and were successful for many years until, with only a small attrition rate to peregrine falcons, until I think he eventually sold it.